Hello and welcome to the Ordinary Church Podcast. This is a podcast about the church and for the church. I'm Connor, and instead of being joined by Mike today, who's out of town, I'm actually joined by three of the other pastors on staff at Grace. So Randy, James, and Brian are here with me, and I'm excited to have a conversation together. So thank you guys for being on. The topic for the podcast today is caring in crisis, and let me just tee this up with a little bit of context, and then we'll dive in. So over the last number of months at Grace, we've been thinking of at least two instances where someone in the body has been in a really serious auto accident, and that's led to, you know, a crisis in the family. So one named Mason, another Luis, two really serious and kind of just freak automobile accidents, and a lot of time in the hospital after that, and a very kind of care intensive situation. So we just want to talk about, how does the church kind of come alongside families within the body when these kinds of things happen? How are the pastors and elders kind of thinking about that from a higher level? But then also maybe we'll try to get into how could you, as somebody in the body, think about how you could be engaged when things like this happen in the body. So let me just pass it to any one of you first. We've got some Bibles open. I want to ask, are there any places that your mind immediately goes in terms of passages, verses, when you think about caring for those that are in need? Anybody want to jump in, and maybe we can start there?
Well, I can start. I was really impressed with how quickly the body of Christ responded in prayer when we heard about Mason. Immediately that morning, when the paramedics contacted emergency contacts, and the emergency contacts contacted the church, and then the church, all the pastoral staff were notified, and then that went to the elders and the deacons, and prayer was like the first line of defense, as far as I was concerned, being involved with that whole situation with Mason. And, you know, with the way that things have gone, I just have to acknowledge that prayer was just, like, I believe was the sustaining element for his life. Yeah, I mean, he was on the edge of life for a long time, and I know that we had lots of people praying for him constantly every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of that place where it says earnest prayer was made for the church, by the church for Peter in the early chapters of Acts. So, yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts, guys? Where does your mind go thinking about this?
Thinking as we are the body of Christ, in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about that we are not just one, we're one together, many members, but one body. And then the verse in 26 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And there is suffering that we experience, and a presence of being together, suffering together. So that presence being together, also that presence in praying together through that suffering, and having people who go and are there with the person who is in the midst of the suffering is important. And it's not that that person goes with the right words of comfort, but that person goes with a presence representing the body, that we are in this together, that we are suffering together through this time period, looking forward to the day when we will rejoice together as well. But that presence, and I think just as we think of ourselves as the body, when one person falls, we don't think, I'm glad it was them and not me. No, we think, no, this is family, this is the house of God, and we want to participate and support and be there together, and as though we're suffering together, even as Hebrews 13 tells us, to if someone's in prison, we consider ourselves as though we're in chains with them, and we pray for them along those lines, because we're one body, and we want to do that together.
We've been talking about the unity of the body for several years now. Started out in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, Mike preached on the unity of the church, the unity of the body, and we're going through Ephesians, talks a lot about the unity, and there's one body and one spirit and one hope and one Lord. So my mind initially goes there with how we are all one. And then jumping into James, you know, if all you do is have great theology and you sit around and talk about great matters and great thought and don't do anything with it, you're not only basically a fool, you're not really religious. You know, true religion is this, that you visit the widow in their distress. You visit the orphan, care for the orphan. You have to actually be doing something with that which you believe and have been taught. And so the fact that we are one body here and that we have building on unity in the church, that compels us to be involved in people's lives and do something active, physical, reach out and actually do things in support of and in helping one another.
Yeah.
And we've seen that with Luis, and we've seen that with Mason in a very large scale recently, and even over the years, helping widows with do yard work and fix fences and reaching out to others who are going on mission trips and need some financial support. And with the high schoolers for many years, going up to Hume, a number of folks would say, come on over and pull weeds, wash cards, I'll give you work to do so that you can earn money to go on mission trips or go to Hume. It's a way of being involved in people's lives and being active, not just passive and thoughtful.
Mm. One thing, I appreciate that, Brian and James. One verse that came to my mind was the end of Titus, I think it's 3:14. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. So I feel like one thing that's been super just beautiful to see is when you have a crisis come up in the church, you're not going to have a bunch of people who haven't learned to devote themselves to good works suddenly jumping in. It's that over the normal life of the church, people are learning to be a certain kind of people who would want to jump in and care. And then when an urgent need does come up, people are ready to engage in that way. So I have another question. I feel like James, you've interacted definitely the most with Luis in that situation, and all of us have had some interactions with Mason. How have you seen the church coming around these people in their moments of need? How have you seen it bless the family, encourage them? Obviously with Mason, that's an ongoing situation, and Luis as well in some ways. But how have you guys seen this bless these people who've been in these difficult situations?
Well, the body coming together and being around the family, it's interesting because you wonder and you go and you're at the hospital visiting and you think, I don't know what to say in this situation. There's not words that I can say that I can't just say everything's going to be all right, because what is all right? what we can trust and what we do as we go is we're reminded of our own need to trust God and His sovereignty in these situations, and then we step in to walk beside the family when we understand and when we don't understand what God's doing, and it gives them that sense and that reality, that reminder that they're not walking this alone, that Christ is the same yesterday before the accident. Christ is the same today in the midst of the suffering, and He'll be the same tomorrow. He is in control. He does have a plan. He's working for His good. And so as we walk alongside of them, there is that sense that we're representing Christ. We are His body. We want to trust Him, and we want to pray and be with them as a source of comfort. And so the church's presence is a reminder of Christ, and the church then coming and the things to do when you go in circumstances like that. It's sometimes to read scripture. It's sometimes to be quiet and sit. It's sometimes to pray out loud. It's sometimes just to be a shoulder to let someone cry on. So it's a presence that is a support. And the family, we don't understand if there was a single thing of like, yeah, go do this, or this dollar amount will make someone feel better. You know, we'd love to do that. And so sometimes the difficulty of going in these circumstances is, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what is the appropriate thing at this time. What the scriptures tell me is that God is in control, that He's working all things together for our good, His glory and our good. And so I'm going to walk, I'm going to trust that and seek to be a representative of him in that circumstance. And the family, I can tell from the Luis situation, it was always a comfort. It was a strengthening thing. And it was a sharing in of the suffering. Even as in certain circumstances, the person who's going through the suffering won't remember any of that circumstance, whereas the family will, because they're awake and aware. Whereas as the God gives a grace to the person in the midst of the accident, sometimes that they will forget all of what happened in those first few weeks. The family will remember, and they very much appreciate the body coming around and being there with them and sitting with them and praying and reading scriptures and sometimes just being quiet, being a presence there.
That's helpful, James. Randy or Brian, do you guys have any thoughts about that? Just how you've seen these families blessed in the process of all of this pain and experiencing this?
Yeah. To kind of continue with what James was saying, you know, sometimes you just don't know what to say to be an encouragement, but just bringing God's word into the room, sitting with families, as you pray quietly for them, just your presence sometimes is encouraging to them. Sharing, like when I go in and visit hospital rooms and people sick and in the hospital bed, I try to share kind of what's going on in my quiet time. It's like, hey, I read this psalm this morning and I wanted to share it with you. And I think just opening up God's word and reminding them that God's word is eternal and fits every situation and circumstance of our life, that gets their mind focused on eternity and God's care and God's sovereignty. So I'm just like, hey, I read this psalm. I thought about you. I wanted to share the psalm with you. I knew I wanted to share the psalm with you when I got here. So I read a psalm and then pray with the family. And it's really about all we can do in terms of words to say is just God's word.
I feel like sometimes we can underestimate what an impact that can have in the moment. You know, I think we've all experienced going into a room like that, and just to open the word and to pray, it like I think sometimes you can tangibly see the comfort that it is, the encouragement, you know, especially when someone's spending, you know, 12 or 14 hours just kind of sitting in a hospital room, to have someone come and visit and read God's word and pray and just spend time, I think, can be an encouragement. So, guys, anything else on this idea?
Yeah, obviously, I think just the presence is a comfort, just being there. Surely the word of God is perfect. You bring the word of God to someone, and that God's going to do what he's going to do through that. But another thing that I've seen is a lot of practical assistance. You know, you help someone with transportation, with food. You're in the hospital for days on end, and someone's bringing you gift cards or a meal that you can eat there at the hospital is just one less thing to worry about while you're caring for someone in the hospital. Both Luis and Mason have had family who's there helping, but they've not been at work, they've not been at home, they've not been part of their normal, regular routine to care for a loved one at the hospital. And to bring, just to bring a meal in, just to bring a note over, is such an encouragement, because otherwise you can begin to feel very isolated and sitting hours at a time in the hospital room with just your loved one, and doctors and nurses and staff coming in and out, can start playing with your mind. And you get thinking too much about yourself in your own head. It can be disruptive. So to have someone else be there, to have someone else bring a note, have someone else read the word with you, is just being present, I think, is so encouraging. It's not good for people to be alone. You know, we're created to be social beings, and being social with someone, just that actually being there, I think brings great encouragement. Whether someone in a hospital for a long term or someone on a short term in the hospital for one day or overnight or just homebound, you know, being present with them is a huge encouragement.
Yeah, different people have different gifts, and the body is made up of a lot of different people. And so then in circumstances like this, those gifts come out, and being able to use those in different ways. I remember when Luis went into the hospital, it was, hey, we need to get his car moved from the accident. We need to get it cleaned and taken care of. And so let's call other people in the body who know about cars. Let's call, you know, like, and their practical gifts and their desire to help were very evident. I remember calling the Webbers, and they were, you know, ready to say, hey, these are some connections that might be able to help with that. And so it's then thinking through those resources and giving other people a chance to use their knowledge and what God has allowed them to do, whether it be work or ministry wise, to then bless the family going forward there. And there's a lot of life that when you're in the hospital doesn't happen. Like, there's a lot of normal things in life that aren't happening. And so thinking through how can we connect people to the things that need to be done that they can bless. And sometimes it's very practical cleaning or food making and other things that childcare and rides, a lot of things that people can help out with and then have a chance too as well to be that presence in those places helping out is a blessing, and it's fun to see the body reach out and do those things.
Hmm. That's great, guys. Brian, it looks like you got a little bit more.
Yeah, I was gonna say one thing. I know oftentimes myself and others have a hard time accepting help. You know, we all want to jump in and help someone else. And if you're in that situation where you need help, but sometimes it's, no, I can take care of this, or, oh, I don't need that. And all I would say to someone in that situation where they might be in need of some help, or where that would be a blessing to receive some help, don't deprive others in the body of the joy and the blessing of serving. You know, it is really more blessed to give than receive. Mm-hmm. You get so much more when you're out helping someone and serving someone else. Even as a kid, I remember doing chores at home was a drag. But going to a friend's house where he had to do chores and you could help them do their chores, that was a fun. So you carry that over, and other people want to help. Other people are eager to use their gifts and what they have to bless and help others. Don't be the one who says, oh no, I've got this, or I don't want to burden anyone else by sharing what my needs are, needs are just something that would be a blessing. Maybe it's not a need as we think of I'm going to die without it, but, you know, it would be a help, be a blessing. You know, we're part of one body, and as good as it is to give, it's good to let someone else give too.
Yeah, no, that's really good, Brian. I think that's one of the ways that the person who's giving feels blessed when they're just giving something, and then it's received with gratitude and they're thankful and not pushing back like you're saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't believe I'm putting you out like this. Just, nope, thank you so much. Is there anything, and I mean, Brian, this could be maybe directed especially at you as an elder at Grace, but even to all of us, is there anything that you would just want to kind of mention to people, maybe for their kind of comfort or understanding, things that the elders, or maybe we could say in a situation like Grace, the elders and the pastoral team, is there anything that the elders are thinking about kind of at that level that would be helpful to just give context to people? You know, this is what comes into the elders' minds when something like this happens. And if there's nothing, that's fine too.
Of course, we want to do good shepherding, and that includes, you know, meeting physical needs, meeting emotional needs, meeting spiritual needs. With Luis and Mason, who were, you know, weeks and weeks in the hospital, we made an effort to have an elder or pastor visit every day. You know, other people can come visit, and other people are welcome to come visit, and that was a blessing to do that. But we, as the elder and pastoral team, made a commitment that they need a pastoral visit daily for that encouragement. We, I think as elders, and I speak on behalf of the pastoral team, and you guys can jump in, find it a great relief when others are doing this too. And we want to encourage others to do what they can in ways that meet people's needs and use their giftedness. But you know, we as elders are going to be making sure people are cared for and visited, and that's organic and organized. You know, we have a caring fund. We have a caring team that's set up organizationally designed to help people when those needs are brought to our attention. So those needs need to be brought to our attention. We're going to rely on the body to either come ask for help or let us know, hey, my neighbor, my friend, you know, my cousin, you know, someone in my Sunday school class needs some help. We know and we can engage in that way. But it's also organic. We don't need to go to the elders. We don't need to go to the pastors to say someone needs help. You know, you can in the body just reach out and help. Just, you know, between you and God and them, take care of a need. It doesn't have to be announced. Doesn't have to be made public. It doesn't have to come to the pastors or elders. If you see a need, meet the need. If it's beyond what you can do, of course, get help.
That's really good. I like that organic and organized idea. That's helpful. How about either for either of you guys, Randy or James, just, you know, how would you encourage somebody who maybe has been hearing about these situations on Sunday mornings at Grace, maybe hearing, you know, updates or knowing that we're kind of praying for, in this case, we've been praying for Mason almost every Sunday, you know, as we're together. But maybe someone feels like they've been just unable to engage, you know, they haven't been able to meet practical needs or that. I mean, how would you encourage somebody who's just feeling like, I want to be, you know, what Christ has called me to be as a member of the body, but I haven't felt like I've been able to really be closely involved?
Yeah, I was just looking up this verse in Ephesians 4 where it says that God has given gifts to the church, and he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So that's what we're here for. So for somebody in the church that wants to learn how to do that, you can drop a prayer card from the back of the chair in the church and just write us a note. We get those notes and just say, hey, I'm praying for how to get involved more at church. You can talk to a pastor or an elder out in the patio. You can write an email to any of us, and we're happy to reach out and give you some ideas and even invite you in. We'll sit down with you for coffee and talk about what your gifts are and how you can use them to encourage and be part of the body of Christ. And I just want to say it's been a blessing for us as pastors to see people step in and help with the shepherding and the care of the body of Christ. And that's not just for the pastors and elders, but that's for everybody in the body.
I know there's a brother I talk to every week who is praying for Mason. He's never met him. He's not in a place where he can help out necessarily financially with a meal. And time-wise, he's got an elderly parent he's caring for, which takes up his time. And so like to think like, oh, well, he can't offer anything. No, his prayers are really important. And if you go and get a chance to talk with one of the guys who have gone through a major accident like this, like Mason and Luis, they will tell you like, man, I feel the strength and support of the prayers of the saints. And then the blessing is when in part hearing testimonies from someone who's gone through a major accident, major suffering, intense pain. And then for them to be able to proclaim like Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. To think that even in these circumstances, they are blessing the Lord. We take part in that. We rejoice in that. It's a victory for all of us when faith shows itself to be real even in difficult times. And that's something that the body rejoices in, that we have a part in, and we get to see it. And sometimes we don't see it, but we're a part of it through prayer, through those unseen things that are a support to our brothers and sisters who are going through suffering.
Mm. Well, that's super helpful, James. I feel like I didn't interact with Luis as much, but at least with Mason, it's been such an encouragement, I think, to everybody who's visited. I'm just, for myself, just to hear him say, I'm just trusting the Lord. You know, I'm just thankful to be alive. And I'm trusting the Lord. And this is going to be something that impacts his future life, you know, in huge ways. And there's such intense suffering, but it's like, what an amazing opportunity for the witness of that person's faith to kind of like blossom in a new way when they're just saying, I'm trusting the Lord. And I have all these sleepless nights in the hospital where I'm tossing and turning and I'm just praying and just asking God to give me strength and help me to trust him. So that can be such a powerful just encouragement, you know, to anybody who's kind of knowing that person, hearing that. So guys, I know there's a lot of directions we can go. I had one thought about maybe just the long-term aspect of caring. A lot of times an immediate crisis will lead to longer-term needs. And so I think Mike does a good job of kind of reminding us sometimes that it's not always the squeaky wheel, you know, that needs the care. There's sometimes longer situations where the church needs to still be involved. So that's one place we could go. Does anybody have any thoughts about that? Or maybe kind of this is a final opportunity to just kind of jump in with anything that you'd still want to say.
Yeah, we are part of one another in the body in crisis and not in crisis. And so where there are needs, we gotta be aware of that and be ready to jump in. And, you know, it's a real test of faith. You know, when James talks about works and faith and how they have to work together, you know, I think a lot of times it's easy to jump in time of crisis and help, and then that crisis passes, and then we go back to our normal everyday life, and it becomes about me again. And I stop thinking of the needs of others. When there's a crisis, and it's up in your face, and there's, you know, lights and sirens and all kinds of activity, you know, we're spurred on to be part of that and want to help. So when it becomes more daily, it becomes more long-term, we need to be reminded and we need to be committed to remaining faithful, to continue to serve and continue to be involved in people's lives, whether it's emotional, mental, social, physical, and remain faithful in doing that. Mm. One other thing, but I can't do anything but pray. Don't by any means, you know, downplay the power and the importance of prayer. Without the prayers, all of the activities of people serving would not amount to much at all. So being prayerful, being faithful in praying, you know, the prayers of a faithful person avail much.
Amen. I just to kind of highlight what you're saying, Brian, I feel like in terms of the longer-term care, some of those things actually become, in some ways, the least glamorous and most demanding aspects of care. You know, I'm just thinking of people in our church who are picking up maybe an older, like a widow or something, and driving them to church and doing that faithfully every Sunday. That is a time and resource investment, you know, but you're doing that over the long term, and that becomes an amazing way to care for somebody. So I just appreciate people who have that pattern in their lives of caring for people in that way. Randy, anything else from you? I see you.
I want to invite those that want to be involved to contact us. What are the gifts that God's given you, or do you need help identifying what they are? But we're looking for people to be involved with the body of Christ. You can make a phone call to somebody who's homebound, and you can make a visit. We will help you. You don't have to do it on your own. We will share with you. We will go with you to show you what it's like. But if you have those gifts, we want to encourage you to use them, gifts of compassion and things like that, to make phone calls, write letters, make visits. So contact us and we will help equip you to be part of being involved with the body of Christ and those that need visits and would love to have some outside contact with people.
That's great. James, is there anything else that you want to drop in before we wrap this one up? I just don't want to deprive you of the opportunity.
On the prayer note, I would say that if we had someone who has a resource, right, we would reach out to that person. If I had the rich uncle who could help fix a situation, I would love to give him a call in that way. And we don't want to see the Lord just as someone that we're trying to pull into a situation to make things better or manipulate him through prayer. No, he's the one who actually has all the wisdom and understanding. all the resource to care and knows why the person is going through this difficulty. He understands what he is working out and producing. And so both for our own wisdom and for the good of the body, we go to our Father who walks with us, who leads us to still waters at times and other times walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And so we understand and look to have understanding from what he gives us. And so that prayer aspect is really key, both for those who are wanting to care, but also then in bringing before the Lord our brothers who are suffering. We do that, and it's an important resource that we have.
Yeah, praise God. Now, Andrew McNeil was teaching on prayer last week, and he read a quote, something like, God is our Father. When we pray, he always hears, and he always answers, either with what we've asked for or with something better, according to his wisdom. And that's really just a great encouragement to go to him and to ask for these blessings. So, guys, thank you for joining us today. That was, joining the podcast. That was nice to have you, listeners. We're thankful for you. Also, if Mason or Luis or any of the family members ever listen to this, we just want to say here what an encouragement it's been to watch you and your faith as you walk through these trials. So praise God for how he carries us. And that's all for today. We're thankful for all of you, and we'll talk to you next time.